you ever thought why God made us? You're here because, well, you were born. You have no choice in being born. Okay, I understand that. And you made a choice to come to church, and maybe some of you were twisting your arm a little bit. I don't know. But why were you even born? Why did God even want mankind? Do you ever think about it? Why do you think he wanted mankind? Answer me.
For friendship.
For friendship. For relationship. Someone to talk to love, and to share his love, and he wants that love shared back to him. That's why he made us. That's where we're made. And it says, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. But you know, when he came to mankind, one portion says he created mankind, but there's another a few verses later, says he formed mankind. He took part of his creation and formed, like in his image, then what'd he do? What'd he do? He breathed into him the breath of life. He breathed into him. You know, when God breathes in something, that's eternal. There is nothing on this earth that's eternal. We are eternal. The flowers and the trees and that's not eternal. Now, maybe the universe, I don't know, but there's nothing else eternal except for us that God created or made. We are eternal. And when God breathed into that, you think about, we are God breathed. Now, when we talk about eternity, we're talking about hell in the picture or heaven in the picture. You are eternal beings. No matter what you think or not, you are eternal beings. And with that, when God breathed into us, he breathed into us a relationship. He breathed into us love. He breathed into fellowship. We're made that way. We sang the song, I'm so glad I'm part of the family of God. We like coming together like this and to talk with one another and share our needs and our problems and praises or whatever. We are made that way. And then also with that, we are about the only part of creation that's afraid of death. You ever think about it? Animals, they're not, they'll try to run away from, but they're not really afraid of it. We're afraid of death. It's no fun, I'll put it that way, to have somebody die in our presence. We're afraid of death. And you know something else? We're the only ones that laugh. You're the only ones that laugh. And laughter is good medicine. The Bible talks about it. And we're the only ones that can make choices. I mean choices. Okay. And when you talk about those choices, you know, Joshua said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That's a choice he made. We have in the scriptures too, it says, choose you this day whom you will serve. I think it was with Baal and with Elijah there. I was just trying to think of those things. That's why we are made. And that's some of the things that we're here, and that's just part of it. But then I had to think of, truth is what we've been talking about. And what is truth? It's absolute, something that's absolute. If I was going to come to you and say, 2 + 2 = 2, would you have any argument with that? No. Chinese don't either. Japanese don't either. That's a statement. That's a fact. There's no argument about it. Well, but if I would say, Dodge is the best pickup to buy. Ooh, see, you heard it already. Yeah, see, okay. But that's a matter of opinion. Or if I would say you throw the ball up in the air and it comes back down. Oh, well, there's no argument about it. It's going to come back down unless there's something that holds it up there. But it's going to come back down. That's a statement. That's true. That's a fact. Or the Packers are the best team out there. You Viking fans are going to argue about that. See, so it's a matter of opinion on some things. But how do you really know there is a God? If someone came up to you and says, prove it, there is a God, could you do it? Could you do it? It'd be kind of hard, wouldn't it? It's not as easy as 2 + 2, I'll tell you that much. It would be kind of hard to prove to it. But then I'd probably throw the question back to how you know there isn't. Prove that to me. How do you know there isn't? What is easier to believe? That there was a creator and a designer and somebody with an intellect and power and everything else that made this universe? Or is it easier to believe that, well, all these cells and these atoms all spun around and it just took off going faster and faster and poof, we have the world and we have all the waterfalls and we have all the things that we enjoy in creation. That's how it happened. Is that easy to believe that? It ain't too easy to believe that either, is it? So we have to kind of think, well, I guess, there's got to be a creator. And I even brought up the thought about, how do you know there's George Washington? Did you guys see him? None of us seen George Washington. Oh, we say, well, yeah, but back in DeStarkey's day, when the history class, there was a George Washington. That's our history teacher in high school, by the way. There was a George Washington. So we read it, and the book says copyright in 1949. Oh, we know there's a George Washington. But I don't know that there was a George Washington, except for what you hear and was told, right? So we have to believe it, I guess. Okay, and you can go the same thing with Lincoln or any of those type of guys. So to bring that out, I had to look at talking about some scripture now. We read in Romans 1:20, it says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, ever his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. You're without excuse to, there's got to be a creator when you think about it. Just go sit back on your back deck tonight and just look and think and what you see. Started with a mosquito maybe, or maybe that nice tree in your yard, or maybe the sunset. All these things you look at and think of, well, there's got to be more to it than a Big Bang Theory. There's got to be a designer. There's got to be something. Or if we went on a trip, I was with Jeff and brought Jeff back home from Alaska. The mountains, wow, the magnificent mountains. And then come right down to a little cell that you can't see, our cells or whatever. It's such an extreme, but God created it all. And just think about, I went into the eye doctor here one time, and they had a picture of your eye on all the different things that are behind your eye, and I was just amazed at, whoa, I don't even want him cutting on my eye or lasering or whatever because they're so intricate, you know. But it's an amazing thing how you can see, how you can even hear or talk. Think about it. Big Bang Theory come out of all that? Don't make sense, does it? In Proverbs 8:17, it says, those who diligently seek him will find him. You will find him, but there's a choice now again. We talk about choices. There's a choice. You have to diligently seek him. So it requires something on our part when it says they are without excuse. God is there's another portion in the scripture that talks about God has given us a portion of faith, a little bit of faith. I don't know if this implies to what I'm going to say here, but I like to use it this way anyway. You know something? Every one of us sitting here has enough faith to believe there is a God if you want to. You got enough faith that there is a God. In Jeremiah 29:12-14 says, for I know the thoughts I have towards you. That's not of evil, but of peace, of hope and future. Then you will pray and call upon me, and I will listen. You will seek me and find me when you have searched for me with your whole heart. We talked about diligently. Now if we seek him with our whole heart, you will find me. And all through the scripture, God, that relationship because of sin has been severed. And he wants to bring that back. I want to come back. He wants his people to find him. He wants people to love again and to worship him and praise him. He wants people to see his fingerprints all over. And we can identify that just in creation, the fingerprints of God. Even the devils believe that there's a God, and they tremble. But that's just a belief. There's not salvation in what I said so far. There's no salvation in that. There's a lot of people believe, yeah, there's a God, but as far as it goes. There's not salvation in that statement alone. In Hebrews 1:1-2, it says, God who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, now in his last days has spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through him also he hath made the worlds. Here we have Hebrews is tying the Old Testament, a lot of history, there's no question about it, it is history, but tying it to the New Testament. God back then spoke to the prophets, and we have record of it. Spoke to them, but today he's speaking to us through his Son. Isn't that amazing? And I had to think of I had to think of the patience that God must have to try to bring us back to him again. Think of the years that are involved. I know 1 year with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is 1 day. So really, we're only talking 6 days since creation, 6,000 years. It's only 6 days, so I guess that isn't a big deal when you look at it on God's side of things. But 4,000 years before Christ came into the picture, that he was dealing with mankind to bring him back. How he worked with the children of Israel. And when he worked with the children of Israel, I just want not only the children of Israel to see there's God, I want the people outside of your camp to believe there's a God. I want them to know that there is a God out there other than just in this camp right here. So he wanted, and he had his chosen people, but he still wanted everybody to come back in and to have that relationship. He's not willing that any should perish. In Timothy, we kind of came through where I think we can all understand there's got to be a God. But how do I know that this is true? How do I know this Bible is true? They wrote it way back then, 4,000 years, whatever you want to say. They had no stuff that we got today to preserve. There's no printing presses, no stuff like that. How do I know it's true? That's questions that the legit questions from people that don't believe in God or don't believe in the scriptures. That's a legit question to ask. And you know that, and sometimes you kind of think that. Do you ever play gossip in youth class or youth groups? We used to play gossip. You know what that's like? You start right here, you have 15 people in line, and you whisper to them what you want to say, whatever it is. And see, then you one time, and they're supposed to whisper to the next person beside him, then the next person, the next person. And when it gets to the 15th person, whatever, it's totally different than what, totally different. I mean, it's way off the board of what the first person said. And so some people think, well, that's the way the gospel is. You know, how can it be the same? And these writers, did they mean just exactly, do we have it here just exactly what they wanted to say or tell us? And that's questions that make sense to ask, you know, when you don't know the Bible. In Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 9, I want to read that here. It says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Okay? And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligent to your children. You shall talk to them when you sit in your house. You shall walk by the way when you lie down. When you walk by the way, or when you lie down, or when you rise up, bind them as a sign on your hand, and frontlets between your eyes, and you shall write them on your doorposts of your house and on your gates. Tell them to your children, and have it tacked all over the place, on your refrigerator, on your bumper sticker, or wherever. Tell them to your children. Why do you think he said that? Because you know something? We're going to forget. When he told the children of Israel, he told them to tell your children what the Red Sea experience was like. Tell them about the manna. Tell them about the 12 plagues, or 10 plagues, 12, 10, or whatever it was. Tell them about the plagues. Tell them those things, because so they know what you went through and how I worked with you and how this all went about. Because, you know, if you don't tell your children, how are you going to keep that going? So that's one way that they preserved the gospel, one way they preserved it. Teach your children. And, you know, another thing I thought of, God uses people to carry out his work. Sinful people. An almighty God says, I want you to carry the Bible all over the place. That don't make sense. You should be knowledgeable first before you go witnessing or whatever. But no, he says, I want you, just tell what I'm doing for you. So use people all throughout, way back, even today, to carry out his work. And in Timothy, 2 Timothy 3:16, it says, All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Doctrine, scripture for teaching, correction, setting us straight, for reproof, conviction, instruction, training a child. That's what the scripture is all for. In the early church history, they really, really cherished the God. Like the scribes, they really cherished the word. And part of the reason they cherished it so much, they were God's chosen people, and that was serious for them to cherish the Bible. And they made every effort to preserve it. I gotta rush on here a little bit. The Bible is an interesting book, or it's very interesting for everyone. There is not a book out there that can apply to the four-year-old, or maybe go a little lower, four-year-old, and go to the 97-and-a-half-year-old. There's not a person that can look at this and say, wow. Daniel and the Lion's Den, the bedtime stories talk about the kids, they love those stories. So we read it to them. When you get a little older, you talk about the life of Jesus and the life of Paul and the missionary journeys and how they walk through their journey there with them. And then when you get a little bit older, yet then you'd think, well, I want to be saved. I'm a sinner. So that's another stage. And then when you get older yet, we talk about this in Sunday school class. I've read some portions of scriptures in here and I think, well, I didn't know that. How many times have I read that? It brings light to it again. It's new every day. It can be. So it's for the two-year-old or whatever, wherever you want to go, all the way through life, it has something for everybody. There ain't a book out there like that. Do you ever think about it? Okay, another thing about the Bible. In general, it's very good instruction just as people. Forget about salvation, forget about God. Just in general, it's a very good instruction for people. Like, for example, honor your parents. That's good instruction. Respect authority. And this is now in the day and age, they don't want to hear it, but you can see the chaos is coming because of that. Don't kill, don't steal. That makes sense. Don't covet. That makes sense. All them Ten Commandments. Do unto others, have them do unto you. That makes sense. Don't worry. You can add that list on and on and on. That's just good general stuff that the Bible says, and there's not really salvation in it, but it just says good pointers for you. And have you ever thought about some of the hunters and then some of them, they say the Ten Commandments of hunting? They kind of follow what the Bible says. The Ten Commandments of living a healthy life, maybe, or whatever. They kind of go back what the Bible has brought out. But there's no, in what I said so far, there's no salvation just in that. There's no salvation just in that. In 1 Peter 1, 22-25, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as a flower. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth away, but the word of our Lord shall last forever. And this is the word which, by which the gospel is preached to you. Our lives are just like a vapor. Our lives are just like grass, today and gone tomorrow. It's just 80 years, 90 years, or less, or maybe a little bit more. But it's gone. Withers away and it's gone. Okay, the glory. A lot of, as people, we kind of like glory. We have to admit to that. And the nice flower we see, oh, wow. And you try to preserve it, put it in the water so it lasts a little bit longer. Huh, it's going to fade away. Your glory is going to fade away. It's there for a while, but it's going to disappear. We think of, okay, let's use Brett Favre. I'm going to use him for an example. Boy, when we were talking about, everybody knows Brett Favre, at least our whole country knows Brett Favre, the football player. And we kind of lift him up. We do, Johnny. We lift him up. He's a Bear fan. But we lift him up because, wow, what a great, you know, we kind of maybe like to even kind of pattern our life after him, you know, whatever. Because he's quite the man. Do you hear much about him anymore? We don't. The glory is gone. The only way you hear about him is someone's just about ready to match him with most breaking records. If someone's getting pretty close, then his name pops up. Kind of, am I right? But the Bible says that glory is only short-lived, even though he's got it for quite a while. It's only short-lived. And you know, all these things, these two things I just mentioned, that isn't the way God intended it. He didn't want our flesh to be as grass. He didn't want our glory to fade away or whatever you want to say. But sin messed that all up because of choices that were made. And we go way back to Garden Eden, but don't think we'd have done any better. I want you to know that. But it says the word, the Bible, is going to stand forever. It's not going to fade away. It's going to stand forever. Now, what am I doing to preserve the scripture? What am I doing now to preserve it? In the Bible, it says the younger women teach the older women, teach the younger women, and men teach the younger men. That's the Bible telling us to do that. And we know why that would be. Teachers, I can't say this hard enough, You have probably the bestest, I don't know what word to use, job in this church. Teaching these little ones, the class, that is huge. Now, I'm going back and experiencing, we learned a lot, and it's because of my teachers. Don't just throw the suckers at them and think that's good enough. And there's a part in it. I don't mean to say, you know, if you do a good job, here's a sucker for it. I'm not saying that, but teach them, teach them, teach them. And when they're old, they won't depart from you. Now, that's outside the home. I'm just talking in church. Because we need to teach them those type of things, because if you don't give it to them, maybe they're never going to get it. You have the most, I put you right up in the pastor area on teaching. So don't take that lightly. Do not take that lightly. Please don't. Because it's very huge. I went and I talked to someone in church just the other day, and if I mentioned his name, you all would know him. He said, I said, you don't go to church anymore. I said, why not? Well, because of he had issues and whatever. I don't know what it was. But he said, them were the good old days. He knew scripture. He was at church a lot. I think every Sunday he was at church. He's not doing it anymore. But he said, them were the good old days. Hopefully that flips around. You know, God's plan is for everyone to come back to that relationship. He's working so hard to get it done. And he says, I'm not willing that any of you perish. I don't want you to perish. Choice is yours. Okay, kind of in summary now. We've discussed the truth of God's word. We discussed truth of God. And I had to think how much God really, 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 really must love us when he spends so much time begging. He must really love us because he spent, we're talking 4,000 years to get it all prepared. And why didn't, you know, two-thirds of humanity was in the preparation part. We're in the 2,000 years after that. We talk 6,000 years. The first 4,000 years, there's a lot of preparation going in, and then Jesus finally came. And that penalty for sin has been paid for. So he said, okay, now I'm okay. The penalty's been paid for. No, 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 no. You don't go that far. You still have the choice. Just because the penalty is paid for doesn't mean that you can go scot-free now. Talking about choices again. God wants you to choose him. And the only way we're going to be able to come before the God, we have to go through Jesus. I'm sorry, you've got to go through Jesus first. Then you can go to God. I'm not sorry. That's the way it is. And he wants, on these choices, he wants to help you with those choices. I beg you to come after me. How often I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks underneath her to protect them, and you would not. You wouldn't let me. We need to let God do it. We need to let him, because he wants to. He's right there, ready, and he wants to. No one come unto the Father except through Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, not of your works. But we need to confess our sins. We need to, this is the part we have to do. We need to confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. There's many other scriptures, but that's one right there I'm going to pick out. You have to do that. That's a choice on your part. And if we do that, he'll guide you in the rest of the steps. Because he did all this because I want that fellowship brought back again. I still want you. I go to prepare a place for you because where I am, you can be with me. That's what he's doing right now. Done with this, the Old Testament as a schoolmaster leader to Christ, done with the Christ thing, but now he says, I got other plans for you. And eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that seek him. That seek him is a key thing. We need to do that. But we have no clue. And it's hard to imagine what heaven's going to be like. That's really hard to imagine. And he said, you're not going to have any idea. But when we look at creation, think, the wows are going on out there, this and that and this and that. What's heaven going to be like? You have no clue. And don't even try figuring it out. Don't waste your time. Because you're not going to know anything. And we as people, we like to try to figure things out, don't we? How does a car work? How does these phones work? Or whatever. We try to figure it out. Somebody knows how to do it, but we don't. We just punch the buttons and it works. But we try to figure things out. Don't try to figure out God. Don't do that. Don't waste your time. Because if you waste your time on that, you're going to miss the important parts of going there for and teaching the gospel. You don't have time for this other stuff. But do that at least. God wants you. I want you to know that. And I'm not even going to say he even needs you. He can do his work without you, but I'm going to say God wants you and God needs you because you might be the only one that someone could see Christ through. Then I'm going to throw this out. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Just try it. Just try it. And I was thinking about one other thing I was thinking. If there's somebody out in the neighborhood that just says, you know, how do I approach that guy? The only time he comes to church is maybe at a funeral. And then he'll tell you, well, the walls haven't come down yet because I'm in church. How do you approach a guy that because he don't want nothing to do with it? And I thought, well, maybe a person, this is just my thinking, and I don't know if it ever worked, but if a person just go and says, would you give me 1 month of your time to read this portion of Scripture, whatever you want to pick out, John or whatever, just give me that and go in your bedroom and don't let anybody see you're doing so no one sees you're reading the Bible. Just do it. I wonder what it would be like. I mean, don't he owe that to you? Just do it. But will he? I don't know. But you're not hammering on him, but just read, just right here. Just read and see what happens. Taste and see the Lord is good. So the choice is ours. And I'm just leaving that to you as a church here. And God bless you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for another morning, another day that we can come together and worship you. Thank you for everyone that's here this morning too. And I just pray too, Lord, to bless those that didn't make it here for whatever reason, Lord. And as we think as we walk this journey in life, Lord, help us that we might just take it seriously, because there is coming a day. There is coming a judgment day. There is coming a day that says every knee is going to bow. If you don't do it today, it's going to happen sometime later on. I don't understand that, but he says it's going to happen. So Lord, just help us that we might, as we go on this journey, that we make the right choices, and we just confess our sins before you, Lord, and we're just sorry for the things we have done and where we screwed up, but help channel us through the directions now that we go, that we might, someday you can say to us, well done, good, faithful servant, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And this we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, now we have the group come up.